Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna be a billionaire.
Gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now, today, I got a special guest on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat. This man is an entrepreneur, a CEO, a designer of LFLS shoes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dr. Dapper Eric Jones.
What's good, brother? That was a good introduction.
You know what I'm saying? I had to get it right for you. I had to lay out the red carpet for you, baby.
Shout out to that. Now I'm going to step on it with the shoes.
Well, that's what's up. Thank you for coming through, my brother.
I appreciate you.
We met yesterday with my boy Billionaire. Shout out Billionaire. You know what I'm saying? And I felt your energy and I saw what you had going on. I was like, yo, you're a great candidate to come on the show and talk about it.
Facts.
You know, so, but yeah, man. So let's start from the beginning, my brother. Because again, this show is about getting insider information for those looking to be in your position.
Mm-hmm.
So you doing the things you do at the age you're doing it at. I mean, not to mention, my man's 24. 24-year-old entrepreneur 24. Killing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm 10 years older than old boy. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yo, I'm impressed. Cause at 24, I wasn't doing what he doing. Yeah. So I'm impressed. So again, it's about getting insider information from you. So let's start from the beginning. Where you from?
So I grew up in Helena, Helena, Arkansas, a real poor, underrepresented area, Southeast Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm from, and I went to college, University of Arkansas. Shouts out to the Hogs.
Okay.
So I majored in fashion there, and then I graduated in December 2016 and went full-time into my business on faith, you know, just hustling, because that's what I wanted to do. And then I moved here to L.A. 4 months ago, so it's been kind of like from Helena, over a period from Arkansas to L.A., it's been like a huge transition. So yeah, that's where I'm from. So we went to school, and that's when I just moved here. So.
Nah, that's cool. That's cool, man. We kind of fast forward a little bit. I want to talk about the days in Arkansas when, you know, you were really, what motivates you to get this dream started? What made you want to get into fashion? And was fashion your first dream? Did you have other dreams prior? So let's start with that.
So in the beginning, I grew up in church, so that's how kind of how my style and the dress shoes and just the way I dress came from. So fashion kind of like just was always in my life, but I didn't really know that fashion was like a thing. Like you could actually have a career in fashion.
Right.
So when I got older, I figured that out. But yeah, we always used to dress nice. My mom was the first lady. My stepdad was a pastor. I played the drums in church.
Nice.
So my look and my style comes from that. And then the shoes, you know, that just sparked in college when I majored in fashion. And I read an article about a girl that started a shoe company. She didn't know anything about shoes. She just had connections and money.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't got the money. And all that shit, but, you know, can we cuss on this?
I don't got
the money and shit, but, you know, I'm majoring in fashion. You know, I like shoes. I used to draw shoes, so let me try it out and research and see and things like that. So it kind of fell into my lap, and I just fell into it. But, yeah, growing up in Arkansas wasn't easy or anything because I had a poor upbringing and, you know, of course, like, a struggle of growing up as a kid because my grandma, she took care of me while my mom was working two or three jobs to make ends meet.
Right.
And, and then my grandma became bedridden. And I had to help take care of her from, like, elementary to, like, middle school-ish. And, and then she passed away in 2010. Mm. And that was the first person that passed on my journey. And I've lost my dad in 2013 when I got to college, my mom in 2016, right before I graduated college. So that's the big thing of my, like, story and my journey that I inspire a lot of people through.
Yeah.
Just everything I've been through and the way I grew up with rats, roaches, holes in the walls and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then coming to, you know, L.A. and just living in my dream, you know, and living in my purpose, you know, it's really a blessing. So, you know, yeah, that's fine.
Nah, I hear you. And that story alone is very inspiring, man, because for some people, like, you know, God forbid, like, losing my mother is my biggest fear. And the worst thing about it is, it's the inevitable.
Yeah, you can't avoid it.
And
I've lost so many, like, 3 years apart, and it's like I've become numb to it. So, you know, I become friends with people, and we become close, we become family because I was my mom's only child.
Yeah.
And I have 18 brothers and sisters on my dad's side because him and his wife had 15, and me, and then he had another two daughters before he passed.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was my everything. You know, that was my number one source of support, motivation. She helped me get my shoe company started. And she never got to see me sell a pair of shoes. So, you know, losing her right at that point where I was graduating college and she didn't get to see me do that too. You know, that's one of the biggest things that motivated me to go full time into this shit because, you know, she put so much into it and she did, you know, everything she could. And she started like supporting it like crazy, posting. She was happy about it, excited. And, you know, I feel like the baton was passed on to me for me to continue this and create that generational wealth that she, you know, sacrificed so much to like instill inside of me. So yeah, it's a really, really big deal, way bigger than shoes. It's more about reaching back, shifting the narrative, creating generational wealth, and showing a different
legacy.
Man. Yeah, legacy, man, for real, because I hustle for my last name, not for people to just know, oh, Eric. It's like, no, I want them to know the work I put in, the people I've inspired, the people I help, you know, become millionaires and billionaires like me when I become that too. So, you know, I'm all about reaching back and helping community. So it's just that's my upbringing, which helps that too. Because right. I'm Southern, so it's like, mm-hmm. come out here, I'm talking to everybody, comfort, and I want to like just talk and just build relationships. But, you know, yeah, that's a big piece of like why I do what I do and how I got into it. And, you know, the purpose and everything behind it, so.
No, that's cool as hell, man. And now, can you explain, like, you know, coming up, like you said, in that upbringing, which was mm-hmm. very rough for you, how hard was it, or even was it hard at all, to focus on a dream? You know, when you got the product of your environment going on around you, and, yeah. you know, was it easy to get distracted or discouraged, yeah. or were you always focused?
Like, I didn't know what the hell I was going to do, to be honest. I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking at... Because most of the people I graduated college with, they're still there working the jobs or robbing or in gangs in the streets, dying in jail. So, you know, I'm just grateful that I was able to grow up in a household that was like, it wasn't a strict household. Like, I could do what I want, but it's like, I've always wanted to be different. You know, I've never wanted to just fit in and just be that class clown or that street guy, because like that's what was cool in high school and middle school. You know, somebody told me once, don't be cool for a day, be cool forever, you know? So don't be cool in that moment when you're, like, in middle school and high school, when you see everybody that's cool sagging and you know, cracking jokes and being, like, bullies or whatever it might be that you see around you, you know, you got to step out of that. And I feel like not a lot of people got to do that. And I didn't really either until high school, but just me growing up in church and just having, like, where I was rooted at, you know, I'm not the biggest, like, Christian or religious person, but just those roots, that stuff that was instilled in you, you know, unconsciously, you live by certain things. So yeah, it was just instilled with me. My mom, her character, my stepdad, of course he had his flaws, but he's still like a pastor, and they expect you to act a certain way, and you have a certain family image, you know? So yeah, I just wanted to make my mom proud. You know, I knew going to the streets, I saw what that led to. So I was never that person that was just like, yeah, let me go out here and get it this way. I was always a hustler, a worker. You know, my stepdad instilled that in me. My dad did, because he had his own mechanic business and stuff. So, yeah, it's in my blood. So I had no other way to go but, you know, the positive route, you know. And I feel like, you know, I just love it. I love what I do. And it's a blessing for sure. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely not. I mean, this is obviously taking you to the promised land. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like true success, like being able to show people what true success looks like, and then going through that process and showing people you don't have to go to negative shit in order to, you know, live through that
Succeed,
process.
Because
I've never sold drugs. I've never, you know, been in any gangs or, you know, did anything that's like just negative. Everything has been like positive, you know, and positive leads to, you know, more positive. You receive what you give off, so... Right. I just always want to give off positivity and always want to show people a different route versus what we box ourselves into, like basketball, football, rap, you know, selling dope or this and that. The storyline that we have for all the successful Black people is like, that's not true success, you know. The true success is like, oh, this positive route to the top, and you don't have to flash your money, but you got a Black card, or, you know, you don't got to take a picture in a jet, but you got your own jet, you know.
Right.
It's different. It's a different lifestyle, you know, that I'm trying to promote, market.
No, that's good, man, because I actually had this conversation yesterday with a previous guest, and we were talking about how the media kind of steers the narrative on Black people and how they're depicted to be when it comes to, you know, them just being thugs and drug dealers and all that. And that's what they showcase a lot on TV, which makes people further assume that they're all like that. You know what I'm saying? When it's more than that, you got real estate entrepreneurs like Jay Morrison killing it.
Oh, he's cool. He dope. He's real.
You know, but those stories aren't being told. I mean, he's telling his own story, but as far as the media,
they don't reach the masses, you know. They don't reach the masses.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. You know, so steering the narrative and you taking ownership in that purpose, you know, is a good thing. It's great, you know, and just, you know, the more you continue to push that, the more people that feel the same way will follow you, and you all grow together.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a big part of it. It's a really big part of it.
Yeah, man, definitely. Even the legacy part you're talking about working for your last name, you know, it I feel like that type of mentality, we're just becoming aware of it, like, in this day and age, but that was something that was instilled in, you know, like white people's kids back in the day, and back in the day. And it's like, I hate that we kind of caught on late, or, you know, our parents or our parents' parents caught on late, but, you know, I'm just glad we caught on. Yeah. But why do you feel like that, why we caught on so late to that?
I don't even feel like it's we caught on late. I feel like we lost it, because you if you remember, you know, Black Wall Street, you know, that would have been a $1 trillion, like, just community today, like, or maybe even more if that could have lived on, and then we would have always had that in our mental, like, yo, we got our own shit, we don't need anybody else. But when that was destroyed, and we were allowed to shop with these other people, you know, and go into their community, invest in their stuff, we lost the seeing the value in ourselves, you know, because even if my business, if I say my shoe costs $500 and somebody says, oh, I got these Louis Vuittons, they cost $1,000, they're going to get those first because of the brand, like, image and value, you know. So we devalue our own selves, and I feel like we already had that instilled in us, but somewhere along the lines after that, that happened, you know, we kind of, like, lost it. Even if you look back to see, like, the image of Black people back then, you know, everybody suited, booted, top hat, you know, ladies in nice dresses. So, I mean, we come from that. We are kings and queens. We come from that, but we lost it. And then some people are like, oh, this is our culture. You know, why are you like stepping away? You trying to, like, fit in with this and that, or why are you trying to be white? It's like, bro, it's not. It's like, we literally came from being suited and being dressed up, having a dope ass lady right next to us, like, in a dress. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why? It's not trying to be something else. It's trying to bring that back and recreate it and make that shit cool again, you know, because that was it. You know, anytime you walk down the street, you know, people look at you like, oh, shit, he got on a suit. Where are you going? Or why you got that on? It's like, it shouldn't be like that. You know, it should be like, they shouldn't expect you to have on jeans, J's, hat on backwards, big t-shirt. They should expect you to be suited up and booted, because that's what it's about. Like, it's a lifestyle.
Well, I mean, again, that goes to the product of your environment and where you're at, you know, because if you're in the hood or whatever, you come out of a suit, it looked like you either going to church or came from court, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But if you like, around here where we're at, it's the norm, because, you know, it's a lot of business people around here, so.
Yeah, I guess it is an environment, but I feel like the community as a whole could adapt to it more, because it's not even, like, considered, like, when people see me in this suit, they're like, oh, shit, I want to try that out. He look cool, you know, in this suit. So it's like, actually, even my dress shoes, you know, they're not the conservative dress shoes that you would see people wearing to court or like, just to church or whatever. It's like really making dress shoes, like, stylish and cool and fashionable again. Because, like, I've had people say, oh, shit, I'm going to put the J's down because, shit, I feel like I can really rock these and I can be fresh. So, yeah, it's really just making that, bridging that gap, I guess.
No, that's great. You're doing a great job, man. And I'm excited for my people to see all your inventory you got out there. Yeah. And so let's talk about that, man. So tell me about when you decided to start, you know, the shoe line with dress shoes and, you know, the plan that you had set forth.
Yeah, so it was my junior year of college. And like I said, I read an article and, you know, I never really wore tennis shoes. I was like, you know, I gotta step into something that, you know, I can really live this lifestyle. Because if you own a business and you don't wear your product or you don't live the lifestyle of your brand that you're promoting, I can't trust you. I can't support you. Because, like, it's like false.
It doesn't
it's
look like you believe in it.
Yeah, you don't. You got to live a lifestyle. So yeah, that's how I got into it. And I told my mom, I was like, yo, I want to, you know, be an entrepreneur. And I knew it was something more to life than just, you know, that day-to-day struggle and, you know, just letting someone else determine, you know, your success or your level of success you can reach. So entrepreneurship popped up. And I did more research on the shoes and, like I said, I told her I wanted to do it, and she was like, oh, you should wait until after you graduate college and get a job, and, you know, she wanted me to get into that cycle, the normal cycle that everybody gets into.
Yeah, security.
Yeah, you know, and it's really not security, so it's like, whatever. But I convinced her, you know, after I did more research, and she started, like, you know, getting credit cards to help me get my samples and, you know, start production and, you know, do some photo shoots and stuff like that, little small things. And from there, you know, I just took it myself, because after she passed, people, when I promote that and I market, people are like, oh, shit, he got, like, insurance money, blah, blah. After they die, I'm like, yo, I ain't get shit. I got, like, $4,000. And that wasn't even enough to finish paying down on the production that I had first started. So I put that into that. I had $0 living off credit card for the all 2017. My first order of shoes came in 4 months late. They were lower quality than what I wanted. They were defected. You know, I ended up throwing away 60 pair of shoes. So, yeah, it's been a long journey. But yeah, that's kind of like the beginning of it. And of course, LLC and all the legal stuff, EINs and all that. I figured all that stuff out myself from Googling, asking people. And, you know, it's not really that hard to start a business. People think it's like, the end of the world. You really gotta like go through a lot of stuff to start a business. Like,
I guess because they only focus on the end result. They don't focus on the beginning, which is really minimal. Like starting an LLC, like what, $120 or copywriting the name, getting a logo done, getting a website.
Open a bank account. And it's like really simple, you know?
Yeah, it's literally under $1,000. You can start a business like on paper legally that you own, you know? But and maybe man hours thinking of a name. Like, it's not really that difficult.
And outside of that, just really having, it's really all about faith because, like I said, I come from nothing. I had nothing, but I'm building something. So doing more with less has been like my thing since day one. And you really got to see that. You got to see that end result. And it's just like taking a trip. So say, for instance, you know, you're taking a trip to New York. You're driving.
Right.
You know where you want to be at the end. Like the end result. You know where you're going. You know the destination. But you don't know what's going to happen on that journey. You could get a flat. You can run out of gas. You can have to take a detour and go to sleep because you're tired.
All type of stuff.
You know, you never know what's going to happen in that journey, but you know for a fact I'm headed to New York. And I know, like, we know for a fact we headed to the top.
Yeah.
Billionaires. Mm-hmm. Sitting at the table with kings. But we don't know what the fuck is going to happen on that road to that shit.
Yeah.
And if you don't have faith and just know for a fact, like, this is where I'm headed. This is where I'm going to be. And whatever happened, whatever obstacles, whatever roadblocks, whatever, like, police stops, whatever flats, whatever, like, potholes, anything, you know, I'm going to keep going because I know for a fact. Like, this is where I'm headed, and I know I'm going to make it there eventually, so let me just keep going. So, yeah, that's been the big thing on me. And when my mom passed, I set her at the top of the list of the worst thing that could happen to me.
Yeah.
So that's, like, anything else that happened on the journey, the biggest roadblock. So it was, like, after getting through that, it's, like, nothing.
No, I could agree that would be the worst thing to even happen to me.
That's crazy, bro. That's crazy.
You know, so now you talked about, you know, being at the end result and going through this journey, but not knowing what roads lies ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. You know, on your journey, have you encountered any challenges with pushing this product and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so like investment, for example, finding money, even like me being okay with going into debt and taking that risk, you know, on myself, whether it's getting a loan from...
So you were raising capital?
Not even raising, bro. I just bootstrapping and getting out the mud. Really, like if I could go to... I took a loan from Credit Karma. I took a loan from Stripe recently. I had a loan from a guy that came along and wanted to help me out because I had nothing after I got that first order because I was like down and out. So just really, people have been crossing paths with me and telling me information or allowing me to tap into their pockets and stuff just to keep me going. And I feel like that also shows that I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing because when you get to the point where it's like, damn, how I'm gonna make rent? And then something happens, like you make rent, it's like, I've just become that person just like, damn, I know it's going to work out because, you know, it's always worked out for the past 3 years. So that's been a roadblock, of course, like investment and just funding. Getting support from your own people, that's been a challenge, but I've gotten through that, of course, because I'm still here selling shit.
Right.
What's another challenge? Just anything with doing, funding is like the biggest challenge, to be honest, because a lot of brands have money to invest in marketing and, you know, giving free product or paying influencers or being able to travel or get boosts at stuff like magic and trade shows and different things like that. But I've had to think outside of the box. And one thing that I did to think outside of the box with marketing and reaching people was getting featured on a lot of black business pages or black excellence pages.
Okay.
So creating memes and making those like headline news has been my thing that's helped me, you know, consistently grow and keep sales and be able to live. And then also getting features on a lot of different platforms through my story behind my business. So it's really been, it's been a lot, but that's like the top, like funding, because I gotta have funding to do ads and travel, set up booths, do this, do that.
I think funding is always an obstacle for someone, but when you put yourself in a position to think outside the box, you'd be surprised how much more solutions you come up with without money.
And I appreciate not having that money too, because it shows me how to like maneuver and make shit happen without having it, because if I had too much money, I would have probably lost a lot of money at this point right now, because I'm not like seasoned, I'm not vetted, not like, I haven't learned enough to know how to like even handle money or have a good amount of money and sit on it and wait for the right, you know, opportunity to come when I should spend it. So, you know, I really appreciate my upbringing because I've learned how to do more with less, and, you know, stretch a dollar and make shit happen like that. I really appreciate that.
That's awesome, man. So tell me, where do you see this shoe company going? What's the 5-year goal?
People always ask that, and I feel like the 5-year goal could happen tomorrow. Okay. I never really stretch it out too
far.
What's
the 10-year goal?
That could happen next year. But no, like the biggest goal for sure is to go global. I plan on like opening up for international shipping next year. Introducing more women's shoes. I'm gonna do heels. Replacing Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton. Like actually stepping up to that level because it's harder for a black business to get to that point because we don't see the value in our stuff. So of course I'm gonna open up my marketing and reach out to different and start to reach different demographics of people from different backgrounds. I want to open up a showroom. And it'll be like a destination space with like a cigar lounge and real chill, like creating a vibe and, you know, everything like that because brick and mortars are dying out. But if you create a destination space where it's like, oh, come just chill, vibe, get a haircut, smoke a cigar, have some cognac. And the shoes are just to the side if you want to look at them.
Right.
So, yeah, creating a space like that. And then also the shoes have allowed me to, that's been the vehicle. So, you know, my story is the biggest part. So actually me being a person of influence and being that like idol and that mogul in the community to go speak here, speak there, like kind of like billionaire dudes, you know, you know, speak a lot. So, you know, I speak on a lot of panels and I do a lot of motivational, inspirational speaking at different events and things like that. So that's going to be like the really bigger part of what I do. But yeah, I feel like the shoes will eventually go global and they'll be on every red carpet and on everybody's feet. And they'll become that shoe that's like, yo, you got to have these shoes. And if you don't got these shoes, you ain't doing it right.
Have you aligned yourself with, like, you know, like some celebrities, like having them wear it and repost it, like stuff like
that? Yeah, I've aligned. And then a lot of stylists reach out to me, too, on Instagram. But, you know, I get support from some, too. Like, Anthony Anderson's cool. Mm-hmm. He has a pair. Tasha Bates Lockhart, she bought a pair, like, a while ago. Who else do I know? Eamon, Snowfall, he has a pair. He's really cool. We're working on like partnership for next year.
That's cool.
On a shoe.
That's my guy, Eamon Joseph, man. Yeah, he's cool. Shout people out. Watch him on Snowfall.
Facts. He's cool people. I know a lot of people, but when it comes to like actually getting celebrities to rock your stuff, it's kind of like, it's that challenge of like, okay, I'm not going to give you some free shit because I value my shit too much. And if, if you're going to go buy Louis Vuitton, you're going to buy my shit too.
Right. You
but
got
I
it.
I kind of budge with like percentages or if it's like a huge celebrity, I'll try to work something out, but I'm more so, I've started to push shoes to the side for pools, for like special occasions with styles and stuff like that. So I've done some pools, like Brian J. White has some, Omarion did some shoots in them. Who else did some shoots in them? A few other people did some shoots in them. But yeah, I'm not going to name drop like everybody, but I've been getting, you know, the right placement and I've been here for 4 months. So, you know, I don't really be too pressed about it. You know, I know what'll happen when it's supposed to happen.
Absolutely.
And the right people will gravitate to it and shop or reach out for partnership and things like that. So I just take my time with it and try not to be too pressed about it.
That's cool. Who are some of the designers you look up to that you emulate, that you get your style from, or that you kind of like took a little from here, took a little from there, and made it your own?
I really don't have like a favorite designer because at the end of the day, I'm a designer, but I'm not really like in the fashion world, like a big time designer, like people that know all the history of Louis Vuitton, all the history of Gucci, like they know all the designers, all the shit they went through. And I'm more of like that person that has this, I'm a creative, but I'm a businessman and I have a story. So the creative part is big, you know, because I can design a dope shoe, but the business side is like, okay, I have this dope shoe. How can I market? How can I create a platform for me to speak about what I really want to speak about and inspire and reach back, you know, and help others. So that's the bigger part. So I can look at shoes at Aldo and Kohan, like the smaller brands, and but like the brands that aren't like luxury. And I can also look at Gucci and I can look at Louis Vuitton and get inspiration. But I don't really have a favorite designer because it's like hey, I guess you're not really
on the fashion tip. You're just on the shoes. So it's like,
because the shoes are fashion.
Yeah but they are fashion. But that, you know, the people that like the people that not to interrupt you, but the people that I interview that are in fashion that do clothing, they answer that question. When I ask that question, they drop names, this, that, and the third, because I guess they emulated their style because in fashion, it's usually more clothing versus just shoes. You know what I'm saying? Not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah,
just
of course.
Those who are in fashion when it comes to clothes, they have a different outlook than you have. You know what I'm saying?
Because I'm not that person that, even my personal style, I don't say, oh, Dapper Dan, I got my style from Dapper Dan. Because it's like, I ain't know who these people were. This is just who I am.
Yeah.
And then the shoes that I designed, like my first shoes I ever designed, that's just off the top of the dome. Like I like loafers, so let me just like make a loafer silhouette and let me add little details that I want to make. And that's it. I didn't really look for like Gucci or Louis Vuitton and be like, oh, that, because I didn't know what that was. I come from Arkansas. I don't know.
Nah, I
wasn't even like exposed to like fashion. So it's like, it's crazy for me to come from Arkansas and be in like luxury high-end fashion market.
Yeah.
But I don't come from that. I wasn't around that. I didn't know that. So
Nah, it's so crazy. You can't really it's speak
crazy.
On
yeah,
it.
It's, crazy.
It's funny you mentioned Dapper Dan because your style kind of, you know, it emulates him. That's why I asked. I thought that's what you would say. That even with Dr. Dapper, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was a little resemblance.
I would talk shit to him.
But honestly, you should get with him. I think a nice collaboration between you two.
A collaboration would be cool.
Yeah,
it'll
be essential to your career going forward and to his because, you know, his style is different from yours. Your style different from him. But together, you could achieve so much more.
Yeah,
you know, so you should definitely reach out to him. I even tag him on this so he can can see this.
Y'all tag him, too. If y'all want to see his work together, get some shoes, you know. Make some work happen, Dapper Dan.
No doubt, brother. Well, you know, I want let the people know where they could buy your shoe, where they could follow you at, where they could follow your personal and business page. Let them know everything, man.
Yeah, we're gonna hit Instagram. And Instagram, my personal is the Dr. Dapper. You spell out Dr. and Dapper, and the THE. My company page is LFLS Shoes. So L as in like, F as in father, L as in like, S as in son, and shoes. And the website is the same, www.lflsshoes.com. And from there, you can find everything else about me, YouTube channel, business, events, anything you need to know. And reach out if you need any help or advice with business, branding, social media strategy, anything like that. So, yeah, that's me. That's where you can find me.
Awesome, man. And what does LFLS shoes stand for?
Like father, like son.
Where did that name come about?
Because I want to have the same shoes for the father and the son, and now like the mother and the daughter, like the flats and stuff. So I'm going to scale down my loafers and everything, and I'm going to introduce boys' shoes next year. So it'll be like a unisex deal I'm going to do because a lot of women like my loafers. So that's a plug. That's an early plug. I'm scaling my shoes down and starting at size 4. Mm. And so women can wear them and kids can wear them and the whole family can, like, you know, wear the same shoe if they go to like an upscale event because it always falls short of the shoes with the kids.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, you guys stay tuned for that and stay tuned for more episodes to come of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, and my man, Eric Jones. Thank you for coming through.
Appreciate it.
Dr. Dapper, look out for the shoes, LFLS Shoes on Instagram. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. Have a good night.
We don't sleep.
Never.